Blog Talk Radio.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the Lord.
Good afternoon, precious saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That is the soft voice of Rosemary Simons. Sister Joyce Ten Eyck loved when I played her music. She thought she had a very beautiful voice, and she does. I agree with Sister Joyce, who's now home in glory. Well, as I said, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast, and we're talking this week about salvation for all men, everybody, in St. Johnsville. Our scripture text for today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be spending all of our time in the series on this scripture text. And it reads, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3 and 4 are the verses that I'm going to be sharing on today, which read, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, there's that phrase again, all men, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, the church, your church, your ministers are in the soul-saving business. Oh God, let us see it with all clarity. Let us understand the great calling that we have. And that great calling is to join you, God, our Savior, the God who is saving, the God who is redeeming. Oh God, empower your church to always do the right thing, which is first pray, then evangelize, then to represent you before men in the spreading of this glorious good news in Christ Jesus. Bless us today. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Holy Spirit, we yield completely, totally to you, that you may lead us and guide us to all truth. This we ask, this we pray, by the merits of him who hung and bled on a tree, that men might be saved. In the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Salvation for all men. I don't know if people believe that. I don't know if people believe that God really wants to save all men. But that's what it states here in the text. Salvation for all men, that includes everybody, in St. Johnsville. Now, why St. Johnsville? Well, because I pastor in St. Johnsville. That's my little corner. That's where God has placed me. That's the vineyard. That's the portion of the vineyard. I remember as a boy when my father would say, okay, now tomorrow we're going to be over here at this part of the homestead and make sure we have all the tools in the truck, and we're going to throw a fence line up to keep those cows from crossing over where we had our crops growing. And so my father would designate. He would show us, this is where we're going to be at. This is the parcel of land that we're going to fence in to keep these cows. And my father did have some jumpers. He had some jumpers. He put those three lines of barbed wire pretty high, and there were cows that would jump it like nothing. I mean, it was nothing to them. So, and there were times when he would say, okay, now on this section over here, this is where we're going to plant. And we would spend a month there plowing, sowing, fencing, de-weeding. So God has assigned me in my duties today. He has assigned me not to be in Utica. You won't catch me in Utica. I won't be doing anything in Utica. You won't find me in Buffalo, New York. That's not where he has placed me. You won't find me in my beloved Brooklyn. Oh, how I love Brooklyn. You won't find me there. You won't find me in Queens, New York, where I labored for many years. I labored for many, many years in Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens, to be more specific. You won't find me there today. If they say, hey, where's Dr. T? You won't find him in Jamaica, Queens. You will find me in St. Johnsville, and I will do everything humanly possible, everything I can within the bounds of human strength to preach the gospel that men and women, young people and children might be saved in that little corner of the world where God has placed me today That's my field of labor. That's where he has confined me. That's where he has bound me. I'm bound there. I'm bound there by calling. I'm bound there by agreement. A church has elected me as their pastor, and I'm bound there. Now, the good people of Grace Church don't want to hear about me, spending weeks on end in Arizona, preaching the gospel there. They didn't vote me in as pastor to be somewhere in Arizona, Yuma, Arizona, preaching the gospel. No, I'm called to St. Johnsville. So that's why the series is entitled Salvation for All Men, Everybody in St. Johnsville. Yesterday we talked about how all saving, all redemption, all salvation is based upon praying. And this is why Paul says to this young pastor, Timothy, I exhort you, I strongly encourage you, I strongly admonish you that first of all, before you do anything, before you start studying and drawing up your sermon outline, before you start counseling church members, before you give yourself to feeding, delivering food to people's houses who are in need, before you do any of that, the major legwork, before you take flyers and put them in mailboxes to announce the beginning of Sunday school, before you do any of that, make sure that what you do for God is marinated in prayer. What kinds of prayers? Well, he enumerates some supplications. What's a supplication? A supplication is when you come to God with tears. A supplication prayer is when you come to God, you're asking him for things, you're asking him for supplies, but it carries with it a broken heart, tears. You are crying out to God, supplications. And you're just not crying for you. No. Listen, it's a given that the pastor cries for his own needs, but that's not, no. Supplication is you crying. You crying for other people. Remember when the Lord spoke to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, and it says, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, why are you still mourning for Saul? You're mourning, you're crying, you're heartbroken over Saul, knowing, seeing that I have rejected him. Although he was rejected, Samuel was still praying with tears, pleading with God to see if there was any way that God would reverse his edict against Saul. It was unreversible, but Samuel still, being the prophet that he was, the praying prophet that he was, he prayed with tears. If you're a pastor, you know a lot about tears. We cry over people who should be further ahead in God and are not. We cry over people who just give themselves over to sin. We cry. We're heartbroken. We weep when one of our members lands in jail for something horrible, something outside of their character. You know, when you have church members who live double lives and it catches up with them and their faces on the front page news, you cry. You cry. Supplications, prayers, emergency prayers. Right now, we have numerous emergency prayers. Right now, we're praying for a young lady. She's a mom-to-be. She's diminutive in size. She's real tiny. And the baby is big. It's a big baby. And we're praying to God. We're calling on the Lord. Lord, bring her through this. Now, Lord, you gave her that beautiful baby. And mama has carried him for all 9 months. Now, Lord, make the delivery passable. Make the delivery where mother and child in the end are both fine. See, prayers. We're praying. We're praying for different things. We're going before God to petition him for different things. And then intercessions, where we start now to pray for people who are in real, real need. People who are in need. There are people who have cancer. There are young children with cancer that we've been praying for. There are adults with cancer. There are all kinds of people going through hard, difficult financial times. We're interceding that God would bless them with groceries. We know of people who are driving and their tires are bald. In this horrid economy, they can't even afford a used pair of tires that are decent. They can't. People are strapped. Well, we're interceding, God, some way, somehow, get this family a pair of tires. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's just all different kinds of needs. And that's where intercession comes in. Intercession is the kind of prayer where you stop thinking of what you need and you stop praying for other people's needs. It's what they call the unselfish prayer, where you table your needs. You know, one of my practices is that I pray for my needs at the end of the day. When I go before the Lord several times a day to pray, I always present other people's needs first and foremost. Then at the end of the day, I say, Lord, now don't forget, in the Torah's household, this is what we need. So intercession is when you put other people first. After you've prayed with tears, some cases require tears. Some cases require that you stay up all night agonizing over a situation. A daughter runs away from home. A son runs away from home. Listen, just situations that require tears mingled with prayer, supplications, and then prayers, where we're presenting different situations to God. Things he knows of, but oh, how he enjoys when we come before him and we make mention of these things to him. Prayers, and then intercessions. And then at the end, we wrap it up, the bow, the whole bow. You know, when you wrap Christmas presents and you put a bow on it, the bow is giving of thanks. And this is to be made for all men. And of course, in my neck of the woods, where God has called me to labor, I do this for St. Johnsville. We have a little map of St. Johnsville. Brother Sterling, early on when I got there to Grace Church, I asked him if there was a map. He found one for me. It's a little rustic. It's a little crude, but it works fine. We have every street listed on there. And then on the flip side of that page where the map is, on the other side, there's a schedule for you to pray Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. We assign certain streets to be prayed for, and by the end of the week, you pray for every street, every family on every street. We are praying for all men in St. Johnsville. Now, having done that from the inception, now we can go to verse 3 and 4, and we can plead with God. We can ask him to fulfill his desire. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is what? That all men would be saved. It's what theology calls salvific. You can see the word salvation there. Salvific desires. God has saving desires. What is his desires? For this is good. What is good? Prayer. Prayer is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, when God is looking at us as a church, when God is looking at us as a people, there are things he looks for. There are things that are acceptable in his sight. And the number one thing acceptable in the sight of God is what? Prayer. For this is good. What's good? What Paul mentioned in verse 1. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our what? Our Savior. God wants us to pray for the common people, for the commoners, for the regular citizens in our society, but also he would have us to pray for our governors, our mayors, our elected officials, our global leaders. We're to pray for them. We're to pray for kings and for all who are in authority. Why? Because God wants to save the planet. God wants to save every corner. Listen, I am dedicated to my little corner. But there are pastors who have been called to Little Falls. And they have to do what Paul says here, which is to pray. And there are pastors called to Utica. And they pray for their little patch of ground. And every pastor assigned to a geographical location is to be praying, is to be interceding, is to be calling on God, and calling on God to touch the politicians, to save the politicians, to keep the politicians on the straight and narrow. For this praying is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If God wants to see anything, he wants to see a praying church. That's what's good. Now notice, that's what's good, that we pray without ceasing. That's what's acceptable to him. This is why the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse says, come boldly. Enter boldly to the throne of grace. God is inviting us before him. He is looking to see if we will stand before him. He is looking to see. For what? Prayer is good and acceptable in the sight of whom? Of God our Savior. Listen, my brothers and sisters, there are people today blaming God for this and blaming God for that. Well, where is God? And God failed us. And no. Humanity fails humanity. Individuals fail individuals. God is there to save. He is God our Savior, not God our destroyer, not God our hater. The God who's a destroyer is the God of this world, Satan. The God, lowercase g, who is a hater is none other than Satan. God, our God, is God our Savior. He's a Savior. He's a rescuer. He'll reach down where people are hurting, where people are struggling, where people are about to go down for the count. He'll reach down with his mighty arm and pull them out of the mess that they're in. He's a Savior. But you know how he saves? When a church begins to pray. And we've been praying. Listen, it's going to be 2 years now this coming January. It's going to be 2 years this coming January that we have been praying without ceasing. The Lord has established us as a praying church. And Grace Church is doing that which is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be what? To be saved. I look at that map and I look at every one of those streets and I say, God, every house on every street has a family and you want that family to be saved, because my Bible says who will have all men to be saved. How do men get saved? Well, they have to come to the knowledge of the truth. They must come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth of what? Well, the fact that they're sinners. They're sinners. And they need a redeeming Savior in Jesus Christ. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. You know, in all the years that I went to school, and I majored in, at every level, I majored in theology. And at every level in my studies, you had to come across that doctrine of election, the doctrine of election. And we're not going to get deep into the woods into the doctrine of election, but many would say, well, some are elected and others have not been elected. And there are many scriptures that advocate that position. But this one here, the one we just read, who will have all men to be what? To be saved. So I'm going to, again, I'm going to focus on witnessing to all, hoping that all will be saved. Now, will all be saved? No. Will all come to Christ? No. Why? Well, because they choose not to. They reject him. John writes in the first chapter of his gospel that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. Jesus first came to the Jews, and they rejected him. So the Jews were lost. So, again, God's desire is that all men would be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and I'm going to do everything possible to bring that gospel to them. So first, it starts out with prayer. Let's bathe everything in prayer. Let's saturate everything in prayer. Let's marinate everything in prayer. And after we've done that, and after we've done that again and again, then let's go out into the streets. Let us go out into the highways and the byways, and let us share the gospel of Christ, for it is God who will have all men to be saved. It's God. It's his desire. This was penned by Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So notice, why do we pray? Why does the church pray? The church prays because it wants to get on the same page that God is on. And God is on the saving page. In fact, he's called God our Savior. He's a Savior. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, he's just the God of judgment. He just wants to toss a whole group of people into the lake of fire. He's just an angry God. He's just a wicked God. He's intolerant, inflexible. No, he's a Savior. For God, not only is God a Savior, but he's a God of love. For God so loved the world. So, we pray. We hit the streets, and you'll see what God will do. Because prayer and evangelism go hand in hand when God is about to save. And some say, well, Pastor, we've been at this now. It's going to be 2 years. Stay at it. Never give up. Never, never, ever say uncle. Never cry defeat. Never cry that it will not happen. The prophet Ezekiel was taken to a valley of dry bones, bleached bones, bones that had no life in them. And the Lord asked him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, well, you're God. You know the deal. You know why you put me here in this valley. And the Lord said to him, prophesy. Start preaching. And he started to preach, and the bones started to come together. and flesh and sinew and veins and blood was flowing, and God put flesh on those bones. And then he said, the Bible says he put spirit into those bodies that had just been resurrected. My brothers and sisters, never say uncle when God is involved. We just keep praying, and let us keep preaching. Let us keep praying, and let us keep filling mailboxes with flyers. Let us keep praying, and let us keep witnessing when we go to the library, and when we go to the post office, when we go to the gas station, and when you go to the steward shop, and when you go to Dollar General. Every time you get an opportunity, do like Ezekiel. Prophesy to those dry bones. The people that you're speaking to represent dry bones. They're dead in trespasses and sins. But we are praying, and we are sharing. And when you pray to God and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So come back tomorrow as we go into part three, the third block of knowledge, the third block of truth in this wonderful passage of Holy Scripture. God bless you, saints.